Hi, and welcome to Dynasty Mode. I'm Mike, and I'm joined by just Dave today. How you doing, Dave?
Good. Good to see you.
So, what a first week. I am pleasantly surprised with the feedback and the amount of listens, since I expected about zero. I probably would have put the over-under at about 0.5, and we kind of blew that away.
Yeah, what was it, over 30?
Yeah, I mean, we got over 100. I think that's pretty respectable. Maybe it's not. I don't know. A lot of kind words. Okay. A lot of kind words from people. A lot of, a lot more feedback and questions. You know, yeah. I did not expect us to maybe ever have to do a mailbag episode. and then, you know, I found myself saying, well, we probably can't ignore these for too long because some of these actually won't. Be relevant if we cover them later on. So here we are doing a mailbag.
All right. It's exciting.
How'd your kimchi come out? That's a personal question from my mailbag.
I'm being disciplined. I haven't looked at it yet, but like if I like kind of smell at it, it smells like cabbage. I don't know. Right. It was pretty laborious. I started at like 12 and I didn't expect to still be working on it like 8 o'clock. So
yeah, for those uninformed, Dave and I have gotten into the pickling and fermentation game during this. You can look for the spinoff podcast about that. Probably when the pandemic, you know, really, really just has us beaten down and bored.
Yeah, we'll have to spin a name.
Yeah. All right, well, I think this actually wasn't a question, but it seems pretty relevant. Antonio Brown's 8-game suspension was announced. With that being information out there, you got to assume he's going to end up on a team. How are you feeling? You got any ideas on where you think he'll end up? Scenarios? What are you thinking?
I have no idea. He could be out of the league. Isn't that what happened to the last wide receiver that the Patriots picked up off the waiver wire who had issues?
I don't know. I mean, Ray Rice obviously never made it back to the league. I think you can be in the NFL a really terrible person, and if you can provide a team adequate, you know, production without headaches or enough production to outweigh the headaches, you're going to find a job, as unfortunate as it is.
I think he's
cooked. My guess. What?
I think he's cooked. He's done.
I agree. I think if you're a team getting him, you have to be in. You need to be one Antonio Brown away from winning it all.
Yeah, and you have to be like willing to deal with the fact that he might never play. That kind of. Lotto ticket.
And I mean, I'm guessing if he goes anywhere, it's the Ravens. Jackson wants him. His cousin is there. He's got, you know, they have the Chiefs in front of them, and a player like Brown, you know, performing at his peak is maybe enough to, you know, put them over the top in a shootout in the AFC Championship. It also might be enough to sink their ship and, you know, completely derail a season. Green Bay, maybe. I don't know why they would take him on. I don't think that would make them a Super Bowl contender, but they certainly lack talent at the position. I really can't think of anywhere else.
Yeah, I could see the Ravens doing it maybe late in the season, but only if he, A, stays in shape, B, if this doesn't actually turn into anything bigger, and see if he can actually like incorporate their like mid-season like playbook and be able to hit the ground running.
Yeah, I would assume if he were to sign that he would be like now that he would be able to get into the facilities to get the playbook. He might even be able to participate in training camp. I haven't seen anything about that, probably because he's not on a team, but usually the suspended players do get access to things.
can get some things, but then there's other things that they're like, they can't be on site. They can't like physically meet with people. I mean, yeah, with the COVID thing, maybe they can't even like Zoom with people. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. I mean, it would be really hard. I mean, you would have to assume, given Marquise Brown being his cousin, that, you know, some of those rules would be hard to enforce in terms of communication, because he should be able to communicate with family.
That's true. Knows? Some stupid like Tom Brady thing where he goes into the wrong house.
Yeah. Yeah, the, you know, who knows? I think if he ends up on any team, it's probably the Ravens. And he's I'm guessing based on your opinion, you're not buying any Antonio Brown stock, even though it's probably the lowest it's going to be.
I would buy him for like someone on the back end of my roster. I'm not like putting any sort of like real investment into him.
Yeah, just neither would I. Upset
high enough.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to go to the first thing that we received. Or actually, maybe it's not the first thing we received. It's the funniest thing we received. Woke up, checked, saw the email for the account, which you can reach us at dynastymodepod@gmail.com. If you'd like to hear your question on a future episode, you can reach out to us at dynastymodepod on Instagram and Twitter. And if you want to just leave a comment in the review sections when you know you're giving us our 5-star reviews and telling all your friends, you know, you can put it there as well. We'll see them all. This came from Reddit, had an email, and in the body of it was "shit talks Geis like a mofo." And I don't know what caused this. We have already recorded our AFC-NFC East preview. That's going to come out on Thursday, where we do talk about Geis. I don't think I've taken a particularly anti-Geis stance on Reddit. As the resident Washington football team super fan, shit talk or kindly speak of Darius Geis.
I'll always kindly speak of Geis, but I don't know. I mean, there's huge risk in having him on your team or like investing in him. But I'm maybe overly hopeful/optimistic that he will have some sort of career. But I mean, right now his track record isn't great. So he's shown the flashes. So that if he can stay healthy, there's something there, as long as none of those injuries like actually damaged his body like permanently, which does happen. That happened to RG3, another Washington hype guy. I don't know. He looked amazing that year, but they kept putting him in and he damaged his knee and he could never play the same way again. Like, he didn't have the same kind of burst. So that could happen. I don't know. But I'm hopeful that guys can do something. I am willing to still trade for him. I haven't, but I like him. I probably, if I was in enough dynasty leagues, I would own him somewhere.
Yeah, I think it's his starting job to lose. I don't think he has, you know, it on lock. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that Adrian Peterson makes the team. I'm not particularly scared of Antonio Gibson taking his job. I think Antonio Gibson will be on the field and potentially have a role in the long run that takes away from Geis.
Yeah.
But he's not going to be the starting running back. I would say that Bryce Love is, in my opinion, the biggest threat to his job. I think the couple other guys they have in camp are more depth, special teams, not even going to make the team type guys. But if there was a Bryce Love, you know, starting the season as the running back, I don't think that's crazy. Doug will talk about Bryce Love on Thursday. And I'm not going to shit talk Geis. I don't know why this guy said shit talks Geis like a mofo, which is funny to see.
people are sensitive.
I think he's pretty realistically priced where he is. You know, there's a nice balance of talent and risk.
I had a lot of risk.
Another Reddit user reached out to us for a little bit of help with his team. He just started it. This is a startup. It's a Superflex tight end premium league, 12 teams PPR. I won't list the entire team. At quarterback, he's got Lamar Jackson, Ryan Fitzpatrick, RG3, Jameis Winston, and Andy Dalton. If people are still just kind of learning about Dynasty through us, Superflex means you basically start two quarterbacks. Tight end premium means that...
Where it's like PPR for 1 point per reception, they get 1.5.
Right. Huge. So, you know, it kind of is like a cheat code for the elite.
I think it's tight end enough to make them comparable with... like a QB, so it's not like they fit into that super flex spot.
Right. I mean, it's just like a thing that people have created to just create more scoring. I personally think it's dumb. Like, you shouldn't, you know, it makes the Kelseys and the Kittles of the world, like, so good. And, like, it makes the, like, eighth tight end in the league way better than they should be. It seems like an unnecessary
separation.
Yeah,
for a good
time. So that being said, what do you think? I mean, I'm assuming, since of those five players, his starters are Lamar Jackson, which is about as good as it gets, and Ryan Fitzpatrick, who,
I mean, I definitely think he should try to upgrade his QB position either this year or next year in the draft. That's not a long-term solution, and it's probably not competitive this year. I mean, maybe it's competitive this year with the rest of his team, but we're not talking about that yet.
I think maybe in a crazy, you know, COVID world, there's enough Fitz magic to squeak by. Maybe you're lucky and Fitzpatrick holds the job for the entire year, does okay. Jameis Winston becomes a starter again. He's a little bit fantasy relevant. He was the number five overall quarterback last year in fantasy. He slides into that spot. I do like having Jackson's backup, you know, handcuffing him given the style of play, his physique. I think RG3 could run
A
okay watered down version of that offense.
Maybe.
I mean, if a big time star like that goes down, you're pretty hurt anyways. So, all right, his running backs, Austin Eckler, Chris Carson, Kareem Hunt, Carlos Hyde, Boston Scott, and Alexander Mattison.
Yeah. I mean, they're good.
But yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty solid. I think you got two pretty good and valuable handcuffs in Scott and Madison. You know, either Sanders or Cook go down, they're stepping in. They're probably seeing pretty good, you know, amount of time on the field. Eckler, I don't love Eckler. I know a lot of people do. Oddly, Chris Carson is so solid. He is like the most solid RB2, I feel. the fumbles are concerning 100%. But I feel like he never gets his just due in fantasy. He's always properly valued, and I feel like he always falls.
Yeah. I mean, there's guys like that, and that's awesome. Like, you know you're going to get those guys.
And if anybody has listened to the Flying Coach podcast with Pete Carroll and Steve Kerr that they did during the pandemic, Pete Carroll speaks really highly of Chris Carson. He really wanted him when they drafted him in the sixth round. He saw something in him. So there's a reason why, you know, high draft capital guys like Rashad Penny have come in, and Carson has, you know, managed to fight him off. if Kareem Hunt hits, that's great for this dude. I think that, you know, that's like the big thing. If Hunt is a major contributor, that running back group is really good. And if he's average, they're hurting.
Yeah.
Wide receiver, this is where I think there's the depth of on the team. I think this is where you kind of have your room to play with your roster and really, you know, improve. DeAndre Hopkins, Kenny Golladay, Odell Beckham Jr., Bryan Edwards, Robbie Anderson, Rashad Perriman. You'd be hard pressed to get a better three wide receivers than Hopkins, Golladay, and OBJ.
Yeah, that's great. I like to have that kind of like a deep wide receiver core in a dynasty because I don't know, wide receiver kind of can change year to year. So it's nice to have a few of those guys.
And I think, Bryan Edwards hasn't got a whole ton of hype because he's not Henry Ruggs, but he looks to I think it's pretty realistic that he makes an impact for the Raiders this year and is a solid contributing player for years to come.
Definitely. If this wasn't such a deep wide receiver class, he would have, in a normal year, he probably would have been pretty high.
I think last year it wouldn't have been crazy for him to be, he was definitely in the second round in a rookie draft. And looking back at our rookie draft that we did together, it was terrible. You know, Edwards easily would, you know, potentially be a first rounder.
Yeah.
Players like Robbie Anderson and Rashad Perriman show flashes. They're the type of guys, they have two good games, you start them. And that week that you start them, they put up like a goose egg or two catches for 28 yards.
Yeah, definitely.
And then lastly, at the tight end position, a lot of depth here again. You got Darren Waller, Tyler Higbee, Chris Herndon. Were you considering trading Waller? Or is that your guy league?
In our league, that's my guy. But if Goddard or Gesicki or the other guy step up, Sternberger, step up. I could trade him. I mean, it's not good to get too attached to any player. He's right now, he looks good. He's great. But if you have depth behind them that's startable, it's always worth considering trading them.
Yeah. I think Higbee and Herndon, those are big-time potential guys. And, you know, all of a sudden, if you end up in a position where you got two of the top five, three of the top ten, you know, you can kind of, you know, get the rest, you know, bend the rest of the league over a barrel because the position is kind of scarce. Although, I feel as though, and it would be interesting to hear what you have to say, the league has kind of figured out what they're looking for in tight ends now. Like Rob Gronkowski came in, changed the position. Kelsey and Kittle came in, you know, after him. But it feels like there's more talent at the position than ever. Do you agree?
I don't know. Maybe. I think the position's being used differently than it used to be. But there's usually only like a few like top tier talents. So I don't know. It's hard to say.
Yeah. I mean, I feel more confident now, I think, maybe drafting the sixth or seventh tight end. Whereas like in the past, I think I would have just kind of viewed them as waiver wire fodder in a redraft league, who cares? Like as long as, you know, they're not putting up nothing.
Yeah. I mean, you definitely have to invest more. If you invest late in a tight end, I definitely think you need to have more roster spots for backup tight ends behind them just to have someone who's developing, because I don't know, those like tight ends kind of, it's a hard position.
I think this team, I don't hate it. I think it's trending in an okay direction. I think with some decent drafting next season, they could really be looking at a winner. The next year, I think if, you know, they were able to add a Trevor Lawrence or a Justin Fields at quarterback, and Ja'Marr Chase, you don't need him at wide receiver. Travis Etienne, I believe that's how you pronounce his name, at running back. Yeah, there's some depth. You know, Winston gets his job back, a job. But not the worst starting point, not the best. Is that?
No. Yeah, I agree. Right? I think it's definitely competitive. Maybe if one of those, the players on the roster, like, really plays up this year, I think it's a competitive team. But I think they need to upgrade their QB2 slot.
Yeah, that I think that is my biggest glaring hole for them. But he does have the depth. I mean, you could easily turn Hopkins, Galladay, or OBJ into a piece.
Yeah, yeah. But with the QB premium, I don't know what the sort of like trade value equivalent is at the quarterback position, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think you could probably, I mean, Hopkins is about a, you know, in a startup draft, he's falling in the top 15. I think you could probably, if the team was weak at wide receiver and strong at QB, you might be able to pull off a Dak or a Russell Wilson for him, and that would, you know, put you with Jackson and Russell Wilson at QB, Fitz, Magic, or Patrick, depending on which one shows up. In your bye weeks, you'd have to lean a little heavily at wide receiver.
Format, if someone does that, they're basically like tanking their team if they're selling one of their QBs, because that's like what you like planned your team around.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be I actually reached out to him to see if we could get the other rosters. It didn't come together in time. But I think that's enough discussing this gentleman's team. Best of luck to you. Thank you for reaching out to us and trusting us to guide your ship somewhat. The next question was actually about the zero RB strategy. For people unfamiliar, one of the big time fantasy writers a couple of years ago, you know, came up with this idea of not drafting running backs in like the first four or five rounds. You know, generally running back is incredibly important. People value them like crazy. They're always like eight of the top first 10 picks.
Yeah.
So they asked us what we thought about the zero RB strategy. My thoughts on it, that's a redraft league thing. I'm not committing to some gimmick for something that I'm going to be with forever.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You know, if you wanted to screw around in a, you know, $25 league with your buddies where, you know, the roster's reset, yeah, who cares? You know, you lose, it's a $25 bet. You know, if you're serious about dynasty and you're just ignoring the position, you know, through the top 40 players, that seems like a recipe for disaster to me. What do you think?
Yeah. Unless you don't want to be competitive for the next 3 years, I think it is, you know, but I mean, it may be a long-term setup it works, but I don't know. I don't think that's ever really a good strategy to try to tank to maybe win in the future. I mean, it's, I don't know. A lot of stuff needs to go right, even if you are tanking, for your team to like turn to like a really good team.
I think the only ways I could really, really justify it, and it would, if you were doing it, building your team through a snake draft, I would say you have to have one of those picks in the 5-6 range where you can kind of foresee what might happen between your next pick. Like if you're at one of those, you know, you're 1 or 12 and there's giant gaps between picks, there could be huge runs on positions and a talent pool can just be completely wiped out and you're just, you know, really hurt. Whereas if there's only 10 picks between, you know, your next pick, you can probably realistically go, okay, that guy has a couple RBs, a couple, you know, that in an auction, I guess if people just start going crazy, you know, it's a case of, you know, two people really want Christian McCaffrey. So his price goes super high. The guy misses out on it. so they go after Barkley super hard, so on so forth, all those top tier guys end up costing just way too much money and crippling flexibility. That's the only way I could possibly.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested in like testing out like a league where I do like wide receiver, Kittle, and maybe like Kelce or Mark Andrews, and then another wide like running back or wide receiver. Like I could potentially see something like that if you have one of those flex positions that you can do a tight end, wide receiver.
Yeah, I think in your best case scenario, you're able to get to view a whole bunch of situations and take the best player available, kind of, you know, hope to get lucky on, you know, maybe it's a Ronald Jones, bounce back year from David Johnson, Rykel Armstead ends up taking the job in Jacksonville, somebody blows out a knee and, you know, another backup and you just so happen to have them. And then, you're able to address the position in the next year's draft. Seems way too risky to me.
So basically neither of us is a fan of it, but if you do want to do this, then you should probably invest in a lot of running backs later on and hope.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You're going to want to have, you know, an unreal amount of dart throws.
Yeah.
You're going to want to research those, you know, 50 through 100 running backs and really see who you like, looking at schedules, matchups. Too much work for me, knowing that you can definitely start your team with a couple pretty good running backs and still have solid wide receiver play.
Yeah, but if it works out, you probably are in really good shape.
Yeah, and if you're somebody, you know, you're one of the 100 listeners we've had, and you've done this successfully in Dynasty, would love to hear from you.
Yeah.
You can sit in on the next mailbag. I'll send you the Zoom invite. somebody asked, who is your favorite fantasy player ever? I'm assuming that it's just like who was the most fun to own, because...
Yeah, my favorite was that year when I used my last pick to pick up Alfred Morris during his rookie year, and he was the number one running back for like 2 years. That was probably, but then he just dropped off a cliff.
That's a good one. I'm going to say it was Marshawn Lynch during like prime beast mode era. He was just fun to watch. He was putting up monster numbers. It was funny for him to ignore the media. You know, it was just a great package of like entertainment and results.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel the same about owning like Brandon Jacobs when he was good. He was so much fun to watch.
Yeah. There was one season where I had Gronk, and it was just like, you know, I'd look at my phone, you know, a couple of Sundays, and I would just be like, another touchdown, another touchdown. Okay.
Yeah.
Those would be my two favorite. You got any buddy that really burned you a whole bunch? I mean, the opposite.
I had a few. I had some, invested in Lamar Miller early, multiple years, Mark Ingram a few times before they hit.
Yeah.
Those not good times.
I think the first year I played fantasy, it was just like a redraft, wasn't anything good. I got really lucky. I picked up AJ Green and Julio Jones in their rookie years, and those guys both hit right away.
Yeah.
And in retrospect, I should have never picked two rookie wide receivers to be my starting wide receivers. But that like kind of before I started putting, thought into what I was doing, really invested myself in it. I was taking a lot of first round wide receivers and kind of banking on them. I definitely invested pretty heavily in Corey Coleman one season. That was not fun.
Yeah, it's not. that's not a good season.
Yeah, I think if there were any players who just like really shit the bed for me, it was high draft capital wide receivers.
Yeah,
I probably had Parker a bunch of those years where he didn't show up. I had Kevin White, the wide receiver from the Chicago Bears, who I don't even know if ever played in the NFL. If he did, he never made any impact.
Yeah, he never did well. Yeah, he was garbage.
Yeah, I feel like there was like a story on him somewhat recently on some platform about how like depressed he was about how he never made it.
Yeah, well, this wasn't like Ryan Leaf.
Yeah. All right. The next question, which I don't know why you would ask us. There's plenty of information on these two. Travis Kelce or George Kittle.
Yeah.
If you haven't been listening, you would have to not be listening to know that we love George Kittle. Like,
yeah, and I looked it up. Since 2000, 7 tight ends of age 31 or older had seasons with over 100 fantasy points. Tony Gonzalez had 6 of those, and no one else had over 2. So. If you think Kelce's Tony Gonzalez level, sure. But otherwise, there's not a lot of precedent for expecting Kelce to do too much more.
Yeah. Well, you know what I thought was very interesting? The 49ers last year were 2nd in points per game and 4th in yards per game. Yet they were 20th in pass yards and 22nd in passing touchdowns. So that kind of went, I was like, maybe I'm like ridiculously high on Kittle, but he's never caught more than 5 touchdowns in a season. Yet last year in a PPR league, he would have been a top 12 wide receiver.
Yeah.
So despite the lack of passing yards, despite the lack of touchdowns, he's doing it. And we've talked about, we will talk about touchdowns being a kind of random stat. If his 5 tripled to 15 this season, it wouldn't be insane.
Yeah.
And whereas the Chiefs last year, they were 6th in yards per game, 5th in points per game, 5th in passing yards per game, 6th in touchdown passes. So they were doing it through the air. But despite that, if you took Kittle's 14 games that he played in, stretched, took it and made it 16 games, he almost had exactly identical receiving yards to Kelce. I don't think there's anybody in San Francisco threatening for touches through the air like there is in Kansas City.
Kansas City. You
know, there's no Tyreek Hill.
They have more weapons than they did last year.
Right, exactly. There's absolutely more weapons. I mean, Brandon Ayuk might, eat into Kittle, but I'm not expecting him to eat into Kittle's shares like somebody like Tyreek Hill does.
Yeah.
And most importantly, I think there's a 4-year age gap between the two of them.
Yeah.
That would be the ultimate reason is you pick up Kittle now, you're probably getting 4 more years of production. Also, the Chiefs are going to use Clyde Edwards-Helaire as a pass-catching back.
Yeah.
The 49ers are going to use their backs to run the ball more than the Chiefs. All right. This is going to be a short one because despite the fact that some of you were kind enough to send us questions, it's not going to be an enormous amount. The last one, and it's fitting it's the last one. Somebody said, who was your perfect last pick?
I mean, there's so many players that I would like to have as my last pick, but I don't know. Maybe, like, probably one of the rookies this year who slides back. I don't know if, like, Quintez, Cephas. Yeah, or I don't know. Alex Smith, who could turn it around. Who knows? I don't know. Some long shot. Who's under the radar?
The Washington football team fan. Also, do you feel like that's a joke from The Simpsons? Like, doesn't that feel like a Simpsons joke that they become the Washington football team?
It should. Whoever thought of that joke is pretty good right now. But I think it kind of became just like a thing that people said because they didn't want to say the name. And, it was funny because of that. You know, but I don't know.
Washington. Are you, if Alex Smith is your quarterback for the 2020 season, I mean, I could see you getting great value out of that.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to invest zero, so any return on it is positive. But how are you feeling if they go with him over Dwayne Haskins?
I mean, it'll be a bit of a disappointment, but after that gruesome injury, I would want to see a little bit of good luck for Alex Smith.
Yeah, did you watch that?
Really good on the Chiefs. Like, he was that guy who's always, like, available. And, like, you pick him up and you be great. Like, people always underestimated him.
Yeah, I think he's one of those things. There's always a stigma when you go in a draft. The draft capital doesn't really necessarily match the talent, but,
yeah.
You know, he's never performed like a true first overall pick quarterback. He's not an Andrew Luck. He's not a Peyton Manning. He's not even a Drew Bledsoe. But he's been totally fine. There's a reason why this guy's been a starting quarterback for almost all of his career.
Yeah. The Chiefs, didn't he? He had, like, some top five finishes.
They definitely weren't bad with him. I mean, he could always run. I mean, that's the thing that scares me, is if he can no longer run.
Yeah,
if he's able to, you know, get by without the running.
Yeah.
And speaking of running quarterbacks, I see you looking up a stat. So you can, do you have it yet, or do you want me to go on?
For Alex Smith.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll go in on my bit, and then if you find what you're looking for, I can add it. You can add.
Yeah. Yeah. 26. Touchdowns in 2017. That's pretty good.
I mean, five better than Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
I mean, he's solid. He's totally solid. I mean, I wouldn't feel great about a team giving the job to a guy who had his leg snapped like a toothpick and almost died because of it over a second-year first-round quarterback. But
yeah,
in time, if he's better, he's better, and you gotta. The name of the game is winning.
Could be a starter this year, and he could be like a pretty good backup quarterback.
Yeah. So speaking of what could be a pretty good backup quarterback, my perfect last pick would be Marcus Mariota.
Yep.
Huge draft capital in him. Excuse me. Showed some flashes. He's built in the style of the modern NFL fantasy football relevant quarterback. There's a decent likelihood that he gets some time starting, whether it's injury or Derek Carr loses his job because he's one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. You know, there's some speed, there's some talent around him. I think Gruden's high on him. I think perhaps the right coaching, the right system. He could potentially be a top 10 quarterback fantasy wise. I think it's not crazy to have two, three pieces fall into place and him being really, really fantasy relevant.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I don't like him, but he can still do it. Like,
yeah. I mean, I don't want him as the quarterback for my team. I don't even really, I have zero shares of him because I'm not going to pay anything to pick him up unless he's on a waiver wire or I do a startup and I can get him way, way at the end.
Yeah.
But I think there's a, you know, a couple, two, three things that have to happen, and they're not unreasonable, and then he's in a good position.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah. Those are all the questions. I keep feeling like I need to cough. I do not have COVID. Don't worry about it. I won't be on the COVID list. So I don't know. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we on our unexpected pod before this Thursday's AFC NFC East preview?
No, I think we go take a look at my kimchi.
Make sure it's. I mean, best of luck to you on that. My pickles have come out fantastic. If anybody wants that recipe, you know, slide into our DMs. I'll hit you with that. We'll hit you with your dynasty fantasy football advice. Oh, you know what I should add? Kevin, who was unable to join us tonight, did send some over when we were talking. Players he liked, Bryce Love, which we have talked about, Ito Smith, Jerick McKinnon, Jacoby Myers.
This is for the end of the back end of your draft.
Yeah, I think those are pretty good. You know, Myers, year two, he made the team. McKinnon had a big investment. Ito Smith, and that's probably the least of my like on there. I still don't even know if Bryce Love falls all the way to the end of a draft, just given the uncertainty of that. But I could see him being there. Hopefully, next time we do one of these, Kevin will be here. Maybe we'll call him the mailman.
And that,
I think that'll wrap things up. Check back in Thursday. As long as you guys want to hear things and, you know, reach out to us, value our opinion, we'll sit down and do our best to give it.
Yeah, who knows how many times or how often we'll do a mailbag, but it's definitely a fun format.
Yeah, you know, like, subscribe, all those things that everybody asks to do. Add us on social media, Dynasty Mode Pod, email, dynastymodepod@gmail.com. It was fun hearing from you guys. Thank you for everything. I'm glad, you know, some more people checked it out. Enjoy your kimchi.
Thank you. Enjoy your pickles.
All right. Bye, guys.
All right, see you.